Now, for our Bible readings, we're going to turn first to page 207. Page 207. We're in the 31st chapter of the book Deuteronomy. That's where you'll find our first Bible reading, page 207. Let us hear the word of God as recorded in the first part of the chapter 31 of Deuteronomy. So Moses continued to speak these words to all Israel, and he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I'm no longer able to go out and come in. The Lord has said to me, you shall not go over this Jordan. The Lord your God himself will go over before you. He will destroy these nations before you so that you shall dispossess them. And Joshua will go over at your head as the Lord has spoken. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land when he destroyed them. And the Lord will give them over to you, and you shall do to them according to the whole commandment that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For our second Bible reading, we're going to turn to the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John, page 1087. John chapter 15. Page 1087, let us hear this portion of God's word. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am in the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, let's turn together, please, to page 207 in our church Bibles, and we're in the opening section of the 31st chapter of the book Deuteronomy. Let us pray. O most merciful and most gracious God, who so lovingly and tenderly gave to your people long ago your written word, and who has caused that word to be preserved, we thank you too, Lord, that we enjoy the wonderful privilege of that word being translated into our own language. And we thank you that you call us to be those who let the word of God dwell in us richly. But Lord, we're aware that we will never let it dwell in us richly if we are not those who know it. So give to us, Lord, a hunger for you, the living God. And out of a hunger for you, the living God, a hunger for your word. And equip us, Lord, by means of your word, for faithful service to be rendered to you each and every day. For this we plead in Jesus' name. Amen. Verses 1 to 6 of Deuteronomy chapter 31 contain the message that Moses gave to the people. He had called them to be faithful and true to the covenant that God had made with his people. And now he draws matters toward a close. And he is stirring the people up to do what God would have them do. They are to cross the Jordan. They are to go into the land of promise. So there's a word for all the people, a word that all the people need to hear. But we have before us verses 7 and 8, the next two verses of this chapter. And you will very quickly see that there's a shift of direction, if I may call it that, in these verses. In verses 1 to 6, the focus is on the people as a whole. But in verses 7 and 8, the focus is on the man Joshua. Now, if we ask the question, why is the focus upon Joshua in these verses? It's because of God's purpose and plan for Joshua. What is God's purpose and plan for Joshua? it is that he will be the next leader of the people of Israel. Now, you get an inkling of that right at the beginning of this book, Deuteronomy. So, for example, I take you to verse 38 of chapter 1. Joshua, Moses is speaking, the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall enter. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Now Moses is talking about the land of promise. Joshua's going to go in. But notice what it says. He shall cause Israel to inherit it. In other words, Moses knows Joshua will succeed him. And Moses is telling the people that that is undoubtedly what shall happen. Now, the same message, of course, is found in the 27th chapter of the book of Numbers. And towards the end of the 27th chapter, we read this. So the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of man, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Make him stand before Eleazar the priest and all the congregation, and you shall commission him in their sight. You shall invest him with some of your authority, that all the congregation of the people of Israel may obey. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire for him by the judgment of the Urim before the Lord. At his word, they shall go out, and at his word, they shall come in, both he and all the people of Israel with him, the whole congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and made him stand before Eleazar the priest and the whole congregation, and laid his hands on him and commissioned him as the Lord directed through Moses. So here is Moses speaking to the man whom God has revealed to him shall be the next leader of the people of Israel. And what is it that Moses says to Joshua? Well, you'll quickly notice that the message he has for the man Joshua is very similar to the message that he has for all the people. All the people hear this: you shall go over this Jordan. The Lord your God himself will go over before you. He will destroy these nations before you, so that you shall dispossess them. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, that is, the occupants of the land. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. That's the message that God gave to the people as a whole. And now we see God through Moses doing something very similar to the individual, Joshua. Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous. You see the same words repeated. Words you find in verse 6, repeated now here in verse 7. For you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give to them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Now let's remind ourselves of what God is saying through Moses to Joshua. He's saying, first of all, he's to be a man who stands firm. I've given you an understanding that we can have from the use of the word, or the words, be strong, right at the head of the instruction that is given. You see, when you analyze what is being said there, Moses is saying to Joshua, your responsibility under God, your responsibility before these people is to be firm. You're not to waver. You're to stand and remain standing in the very will of Almighty God. When you go to the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians, in the second part of the Bible, where we are taught about putting on the whole armour of God, there we discover what Christians as individuals are to be. They are to be those who are equipped to stand and remain standing for the Lord. Now Joshua needs to hear this message. Be firm. Stand firm. Be strong. Why does Joshua need to hear that message? Well, because Joshua knows that the task before him is very great. He is going to be responsible for a growing number of people. They were a goodly number who came out of Egypt. And yes, it may be the case that some died in the wilderness. In fact, many died over the 40 years, of course, in the wilderness. But the nation is growing stronger. The nation of Israel has been preserved and protected by the Lord. But yet those who came out of Egypt demonstrated, and they did so tragically very early on, that they could be unfaithful to the Lord. You think even of Aaron, the brother of Moses, who was responsible for the making of the golden calf. Now, when was that happening? That was happening when Moses was at Sinai. So they're in the early years of wilderness wanderings. They had not that long before witnessed the mighty, glorious power of Almighty God on their behalf as God judged the Egyptians and as God brought his people safely out from bondage and slavery in Egypt. And yet they turn away from the Lord so quickly. Now these people aren't going to see those miracles associated with the 10 plagues, but they will have the privilege of seeing God give them victory over the enemy when they move into the land of promise. But they will only enjoy that victory if they are faithful and true to the covenant God has made with them. So here is this man, Joshua, who needs to hear, I've got to stand firm. Yes, I am going to be the leader of all these people. But these people are capable of straying and of proving faithless instead of faithful. Now Joshua would know this. He would know this because he's a man of God who knows what the Word of God teaches and knows what God teaches his people through the providences that he appoints. So he needs to hear that message. He needs to hear that message, not just because he's going to be leading a people who could prove faithless, some of them at least, but because he faces different groupings in the land of promise who will want to resist as the Israelites march in. There in the land of promise, there are the Girgashites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, the Perizzites, and the like. In God's purposes and plans, those people are going to be dispossessed of that land because of their disobedience and because of their sin. They are going to be punished. They have had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to repent and turn to the Lord. But they have defied the Lord God. They have continued to pursue the religions of their own making. Now God's cup of wrath against those people is full and is about to be poured out. But people don't go down without a fight often. So he needs to be one who stands firm. They're going to defend the Jerichos and the Ais and the what's going to be called Jerusalem in due time of this world. They're going to defend their territory as much as they possibly can. So be firm. Be firm, Joshua. You've got to lead these people who've proved faithless in the past. You've got to confront an enemy who will not give up without a battle. And then, of course, he needs to stand firm for another reason. He knows his own heart. Oh, it's so easy, isn't it, to look at others and see how they prove faithless. But as our Saviour has taught us, we need to look at ourselves first. We need to see the great big plank that's in our own eyes, as it were, before we look at the speck that is in somebody else's. We need to recognize that we ourselves are quite capable of proving faithless at the crucial moment. Why did our Saviour teach his followers the parable, if I can call it that, of the vine, where he says, I'm the vine. My Father is the vine dresser. You're the branches. Why did the Saviour teach that to his followers? For the simple reason that each and every one of his followers needs to remember and have it firmly fixed at the very forefront of their minds that if we do not abide in him, we will not bear fruit. If we do not abide in him, we will be like dry wood. A branch that should be pruned back, cut off, and thrown into the fire. So Joshua himself must keep close to the Lord. You see, we have to remember two things as we serve the Lord. One is the very will of God for us, that which he would have us do. And here the will of God for Joshua is to lead these people into the land of promise. But we also need to keep right to the fore of our minds, and perhaps this is the prior need, we need to keep in mind that we need to be very close to the Lord. We need to seek his face and to know and find his blessing upon us. Oh, it's so tempting to go off and to do things in our own strength. It's so tempting to imagine that we understand things so well that we can work out the strategy that we should follow, that we can see the steps that we should take, and that we begin to do that, not relying upon the Lord, but on our own wisdom, our own insight, our own inner resources, and the like. Without me, you can do nothing. That's what we should be saying to ourselves each and every day. And then we should be saying to ourselves, but yes, with him and in him and by him, we can be more than conquerors. That's the promise of Almighty God to his people. Now, how do we know that that's the promise of Almighty God to his people? Well, see what Moses goes on to say to Joshua. Moses summons Joshua and says to him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. So you're to be firm. You're also to be bold. Now, what drives this boldness? I'm summarizing what's meant by the word courageous here. What drives this boldness? Well, it's the knowledge of God's plan, of God's purpose. You shall go with this people. This is what God has appointed. And what God has appointed is what shall come to pass. So go. Go with this people. Rest on the fact that God is working his glorious, wonderful purposes out. And his purposes for his people are good. He purposes to bless those who love him. Yes, you shall go with this people into this land. But that's not all, is it? He then tells him, and you shall put them in possession of it. Moses is stressing what God has promised. Moses is underlining what God will do. Therefore, Joshua should say to himself, I have every reason to be firm and I have every reason to be bold and courageous. I must not be an individual who gives way what to fear. That's mentioned at the end of verse 8, isn't it? Verse 8 begins, it's the Lord who goes before you, he'll be with you, he'll not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Now, my dear friend, if you have not got a clear grasp in your mind as to who God is, what God's purposes and plans are, then you will find yourself at some point or other being tempted to give way to fear. You will find yourself at some point or other dismayed. Now, do not get me wrong. Please do not get me wrong. I am not saying that you need to have a PhD or a degree in the knowledge of the Bible. We know what God has revealed about himself. And we know what God has revealed his purpose is. Let me deal with the second of those two. What is his purpose? His purpose is to have a people for his own possession who he'll bless. And he'll bless mightily and gloriously and wonderfully in this life and forevermore. Now, you don't need to write a thesis to say that. You can just say that in a sentence or two. And you've got summarized in that sentence the glorious purpose of Almighty God that is being worked out here on earth at present. And so we should be those who, as we go about our business, are saying, God's building his church. God is creating a people who love him and who are zealous for him and for good works here on earth. And if I'm a true believer, I'm one of that company. And that means I am to be an individual who's zealous for him and for good works. It's all quite simple, isn't it, really? And then you say to yourself, well, who is this God who has this purpose and this plan? Well, it's he who rules and reigns. And it's he who in eternity purposed that he would save his people from their sins in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that he would send the Lord Jesus to this world in the fullness of time to save them from their sins by his perfect life and his once and for all sacrifice of himself on a cross outside the city walls of Jerusalem. And we come together this afternoon around the Lord's table. What are we doing when we come together around the Lord's table? We're saying to ourselves afresh, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know. Yes, the Bible tells me so. But so does this sacrament. It's been appointed to tell me he loves me. He loves me so much that he died for me to save me from my sins. So be firm. Be bold. Be strong. Be courageous. Do not be dismayed. Do not give way to fear. Yes, this God who has this purpose and plan is the one who goes before his people. That's what he tells us there at the beginning of verse 8. It's the Lord, the covenant God, the God who's made known that he's working out his purposes. This is the God who goes before you. And this is the God who has promised to be with you. And this is the God who has said, I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. I wonder how often do you remind yourself of that glorious truth? Ah, you may now object and say, well, hang on, this is a promise that's given to Joshua. But let's remember what was said to the people of God back in verse 6. Something very similar to the people as a whole, as well as what is now being stated afresh to Joshua, the man of God. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it's the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Now, a child of God is called to rest on that glorious declaration made by Almighty God. So the next time you're down in the dumps, the next time you're perplexed by events that are happening, the next time you're afraid, the next time you are struggling with a problem or a perplexity of some kind, even an illness, just say to yourself, what's God's promise? to me and to all of his people. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. I may go through the valley of the shadow of death. I may go through trials and tribulations, somewhat akin to those that the Apostle Paul went through, as recorded in the 11th chapter of the second book of Corinthians. I may find myself under intense pressure as a believer. But the Lord has promised he'll never leave me nor forsake me. He'll be with me in this situation. I regularly go to visit some people who've quite weak and fragile, who've been ill, had serious major surgery. Do you know, I find that when I talk to them, if you talk to them about the promises of Almighty God, what God has promised to his people, and encourage them to note the promise and to ask themselves whether they can say that promise is for them as an individual yet. And if not, to seek the Lord whilst he may be found. I find that that message, that God will not leave nor forsake his people, is a message that gives them a spark of hope. Now, whether they come to Christ or not is another matter. But I can see that something is happening in their hearts, in their minds, as you speak with them. Oh, you might find one person or two people or a number of people who are ready to mock you and scoff at you. I've had that. But you'll also find there are some who are saying, oh, I need help. I wonder whether I could find it. Well, Joshua here is on the brink of taking over from Moses. And God, through his servant Moses, is saying to him, yes, as you've heard all the people be summoned to go and do what their God wants them to do, so you, as an individual, Joshua, must play the part that God would have you play. You're going to lead them. You're going to be the one who puts them in possession of that land, because you're going to lead them into the land of promise. God's going to keep his promise. God promised to give that land to their fathers. You are now going to witness that promise unfold before your very eyes. So, be strong. Stand firm. Resting on the Lord. Not being afraid or dismayed, but knowing his great and precious purposes, plans, and promises. And also, Joshua, be a man who knows that your God will never leave you nor forsake you. And what Joshua knew 3,500 years or so ago, every single believer can know in every single generation. Our duty and responsibility is to know the Lord, never leaving us nor forsaking us. Well, those who come to know him will discover that, because he who begins a work within them brings it to completion. So the key issue is, are we trusting in Christ? Do we know that we have access to God through Christ? Are we those who can come with boldness into the presence of God, resting on the merits of Jesus Christ, resting on who he is, what he's done, through his active obedience to the will and law of God during his life here on earth, and his passive obedience on the cross where he suffered and died in the place of his people to save them from their sins? Are we resting on this Jesus? Do we have boldness to come into the presence of God by this Jesus? Well, if we do, we can say to ourselves, he'll never leave me nor forsake me. So I'll not be afraid and I'll not be dismayed. I will be strong and I will be courageous. Let us pray. O most merciful and most gracious Father, help us to learn, we pray, O Lord, from the great message that you inspired Moses to give, first of all to the people of Israel, and then immediately thereafter to Joshua. Lord, these things are written for our instruction, for our learning. May we be those who take rich lessons from these verses of Scripture. And may we know the joy, O Lord, of resting on Christ, our great King and Saviour, and of knowing that we're safe and secure in him, and that with him and in him we're more than conquerors. May we know that, Lord, we pray in these moments and days for Jesus Christ, our Saviour's sake. Amen.